Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Biz Owners on Fire, where you're a part of a community of Christ-centered entrepreneurs that want to have a fulfilling and prosperous businesses or ministries while putting their relationships first on a daily basis. Here we talk about the intersection of everything about business, spirituality, and relationships. I strive to provide you with tools and inspiring guests to help you create the business and life you love, which makes you an attractive witness to others of God's great love and abundance in a very natural way. I'm Christina Weber. I am a Christian business consultant, coach, speaker, author, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist, and CEO and founder of Christian Biz Owners on Fire. I love working with on-fire business owners like you to support you in manifesting your Holy Spirit-inspired vision. Entrepreneurs, not politicians, entertainers, or bureaucrats, are the change makers of this world. And as a Christian business owner, as you learn to tap into the supernatural power of Christ, the King of the universe, that's available to you, fantastic things happen for you and the people you touch. I am so happy you're here. It is Thursday, March 2nd, 2017, which also happens to be my oldest son's birthday. You are listening to the 108th broadcast of the Entrepreneur on Fire series. And in the spirit of St. Catherine of Siena, we believe if you are what you should be, you will set the world on fire. Christian Biz Owners on Fire rock, but it's not easy. Devout Christians like you who run a business want to provide financial resources for your families and invest in healthy relationships and your healthy lifestyles and your relationships. You also want to give back to the community and live a life of stewardship. It's a serious calling, but you can't be everywhere at once. And when your business, relationships, or personal life demands more than you can give and still juggle all the other plates of life effectively, it can get discouraging. I help people just like you live a life that's 100% in sync with their faith and leverage their time so you can truly enjoy the freedom of working for yourself. I want you to have the tools you need to have an abundance of time, money, and love at work and home. Christian Biz Owners on Fire helps in two ways. Whenever possible, like today, I invite guests who are either role models of excellence in the biz, faith, life, juggle themselves, or who are experts in their field on topics Christian Biz Owners must master for success. On shows when I don't have guests, I take advantage of the teaching opportunity with you. Often I highlight strategies from my blog, Setting the World on Fire, Biz and Life Tips for Christian Entrepreneurs. If you're not yet a subscriber, I would love for you to join our community and receive a complimentary copy of my Discern God's Will Toolkit by going to my website at www.christianbizownersonfire.com. That's www.christianbusinessownersonfire.com. So today you will get a ton of value from today's show on marketing with a higher purpose. But before we get started, I have a quick announcement. If you are one of those people who had high aspirations for your business revenue goals for 2017 and are already feeling like you're falling short, I have a deal for you. Don't keep trying to do this yourself. I have 4 GPS God's Will Planning sessions on my calendar between now and at the end of the month at the VIP rate of $75, which is regularly $150. And basically, what this does for you is, really, if you take advantage of it, I help you clarify and refine your Holy Spirit-inspired vision and understanding what's getting in the way of it and get practical direction on concrete steps you can take to manifest it now. The goal really is to provide you with a value, a standalone value of that session. So if you're interested in taking advantage of one of those VIP rate slots, just go ahead and email me at Christina@ChristianBizOwnersOnFire to apply for the session. Christina@ChristianBizOwnersOnFire. marketing with a higher purpose. We'll be talking today. Marketing tends to have a bad rap. This has become some marketers tend to be sneakier to the point of being spammers. Another reason why marketing gets a bad reputation is because the fact that people often dislike people who are direct and ask them to take action. And sometimes this is one of the techniques marketers use, emotional pressure. In this age of modern marketing, that is internet marketing, how do you get your prospective customers' very short attention span, make them decide to take action, ultimately to buy from you, without being unethical, manipulative, or sneaky, and really offer value? Our guest for this episode shed some light about marketing with a higher purpose and setting up a new standard for marketing, one that's authentic, has self-respect, and innovation. Carl Willis is a serial entrepreneur who's been training and equipping leaders in multiple professional disciplines for over 20 years. He's a highly sought-after speaker who speaks on a diversity of topics, including social media network marketing, Facebook marketing, online lead generation, leadership, and personal development. But the real appeal of Carl is that he personifies the idea of the self-funded ministry. He's a real pioneer. His successful and leveraged businesses enable him to regularly travel to third world countries as he empowers them with skills in entrepreneurism and shares the gospel with him in his powerful ministry. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Hey, thank you, Christina.
So good to have you here. I can't wait for people to hear your very colorful and inspirational story. So if you could give us a few of the highlights so our listeners can really understand the journey that you've been on that brought you to where you are now.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I knew when I was a teenager that God was calling me to do something with my life for him. Whether that was to be a pastor or a missionary, I didn't know. But like a lot of young men, I decided that I wanted to run from that call for a long time. And so ended up becoming a police officer instead and did that for a few years until I just knew I couldn't run anymore and became a pastor, began pastoring churches throughout the United States, and ultimately began going overseas to train church leaders. And in 2008, decided that it was time to take a new direction. I really wanted to work with church leaders, but part of my ministry had been dealing with troubled churches and getting them healthy again. And so I had really watched that oftentimes churches struggled because of things like being too top-heavy in staff or a lot of obligations with facilities that they could no longer afford. And so I went out to create a more simplistic model of ministry. And one of the concepts behind that was that it would be a self-funded ministry, not relying upon donations, but instead that the ministers themselves would use professional means through, you know, commerce and their own businesses to create funding for themselves, to remove that staffing burden. And then, of course, to use facilities that were not necessarily owned, but maybe leased or even meeting in houses, house to house. And so scaling down the overhead of a church. And so part of that process was figuring out how to support myself. I had been an entrepreneur for a number of years as a financial advisor and in other roles. But those were things that I couldn't scale. They weren't portable. They couldn't be easily reproduced. And so I really had to start over again. And part of that starting over, and you find this with a lot of successful entrepreneurs, is I had to bottom out. And for us, bottoming out meant becoming homeless for 10 months, or not 10 months, 20 months actually, living in a friend's spare bedroom while I put together the pieces that would help me go forward. And so that's really the journey that we've been on. But where that's culminated in is I now have the privilege of working with ministers in 8 countries, approximately 400 ministers, teaching leadership skills, entrepreneurship skills, helping them better run the churches and organizations that they're responsible for. Many of those ministers are doing things like drilling water wells, running orphanages, ministering to leper colonies, different types of things. And so it's an opportunity to impact their world. And so I now have the ability to spend about 2 months out of the year overseas doing that. That's my real passion. And so the business side of things simply is the means to make that possible. It's the funding mechanism, mm-hmm. if you will. And that's really the journey that I've been on.
Yeah. It's funny. Whenever I hear your story, I still, my skin kind of cringes when you talk about your bottom of being homeless. And I think, okay, Lord, that's not, it's very powerful. But before we get into talking about the ministry you actually self-fund, which is so cutting edge, and I think that's exactly where everything's going these days, instead of having to have your hand out asking for money all the time, I'm really curious, and I know our listeners will be, how did you create this life that you have with in business with revenue streams that support you, your family, and your ministry? What's your process for that?
Well, I really had to start by reverse engineering. So as I talked mm-hmm. about before, I looked at where I was in life, and I knew that the things that were in my hand were not easily reproducible, they were not portable, and they could not be scaled up with any type of ease. And so I actually had mm-hmm. to step back and begin to pray through what types of things could I be doing that had that potential. Now, laughingly, where I kept coming back to was a network marketing business, which just mm-hmm. absolutely repulsed me. I had been, you know, ambushed by some friends of my parents, you know, 20 years earlier, mm-hmm. invited me over for dinner, and then brought out the whiteboard and some guy I'd never met to pitch me on a business. And I was just nauseated by that whole concept. But the more I began to look at that business model, I realized there was something to it, that it mm-hmm. did meet a lot of those criteria. But the thing that I looked at was, we have technology in place now. So would it be possible to use the technology to actually get out in front of people who were already looking for those types of businesses without mm-hmm. pestering everybody within 3 feet of you? And that was the actual premise that I started this journey on. And so what I was looking at was, I had to reverse engineer the process. What I needed was, I needed something that would provide recurring income without me trading my time for money. Something mm-hmm. that would allow me to systematize to where I could reproduce it, and something that, again, was portable so I could work from anywhere in the world. And that's mm-hmm. really how I started down the path that I'm on today. Was I just mm-hmm. began to pray through those things, and by process of elimination realized this is the direction to go. The thing from that point was, I knew enough to be dangerous, so I had to learn how to become an mm-hmm. expert in those particular
right.
areas.
Right. That's great. Well, and I feel the same way. I look at, because a lot of my clients are direct marketers, and those revenue plans and compensation plans are outstanding, but I'm like you, I don't want to be pestering people. And some of the products are fantastic, you know, but mm-hmm. I don't want to be pestering people. So I really love what you're doing. I know you have multiple companies, multiple revenue streams, but you're also an active pastor of the small groups at your church. So a question I have, because sometimes when you want all these multiple revenue streams, with that comes feeling scattered and not focused and, you know, kind of not doing well in all of them. So walk us through, and that's not your case, so walk us through how you created these different revenue streams and still were able to keep your other priorities in focus.
Well, I started with one. And
okay.
mastered one, and then the key to all of my businesses, so I think it's important to get a quick 30,000-foot view of my business. I have two okay. companies. One is a real estate-based company. The other is an internet marketing-based company. And between those two companies, there are about 12 revenue streams that come into each one, and they're very diversified. It's not all network marketing direct sales. There's licensing agreements. Mm-hmm. There's books. There's a myriad of different things that go into that, consulting. But the
right.
key was finding one and mastering it. So I mm-hmm. didn't move on until I made the first one profitable. And what
right.
I did in creating that was, I created systems. And once I had the system figured out, then it was simply a matter of reproducing the system with each business. So the interesting thing is I invest in real estate the same way I build network marketing companies. I use the exact same systems. And so the systems don't change. And so it's really a matter of determining the system for yourself that creates the revenue that you need. And then when an opportunity comes along, simply matching up the system to the opportunity. Will this work using this similar type of system? For me, automation is key. Outsourcing is key. It's again, subtracting my time and presence from the revenue.
Right.
If I'm trading hours for dollars or I'm trading years for a salary, then I'm in the wrong system. So the system is based on, you know, value and delivery of that value and sorting through large numbers quickly to get to the most profitable relationships. And so that's really how those multiple streams came about. It wasn't that I set out and said, man, that looks good, this looks good, because that's the danger for entrepreneurs is what we call shiny ball syndrome. They haven't really mastered the first one, and then something pretty and shiny comes along, and they're going to try and tackle it as well without having mastered the first one.
Yeah, that's great advice, because I think people do that all the time, or they get to – I do that all the time, get too many things on my plate, and then you're right, and you're not focused on revenue, and you're not focused on mastering that. And it's the revenue that will fuel these other opportunities. So you've gone from being homeless to – you've been on the stage of million-dollar earners in these motivational talks in other areas, and you're a great speaker. I've had many opportunities to listen to you. So when you're, you know, as a faith-based man, when you're on the bigger stage and kind of in this environment, this, you know, people that want to earn $1 million or whatever, how do you incorporate, or I know you're just who you are, but what opportunities do you have in your faith to really be authentic and on those kind of stages and continue to share the gospel there too? I'd be curious how you do that.
Well, that is actually one of the motivations for what I do. I began to realize, as God took me on this journey several years ago, that traditionally in a church service week after week, I was speaking to people who were already convinced. And what I really had a heart for was to get in front of people who weren't convinced. And so what God really has done with me is he's given me a different audience to share the gospel with. So anytime I get up to speak, I always tell my story. So you're not going to hear me talk without hearing about the journey that God has had me on.
Right.
But in that, what I came to realize is I am normally standing in front of audiences of people who don't go to church. The only time they're in a church is for a wedding or a funeral. And yet they are looking for hope. The reason they're at a conference to listen to a group of millionaires is because they have dreams, they have hopes, and they're not finding anything that fulfills them. And so I am able to talk about the fact that it's not the money, it's not the revenue, it's not the success, it's not the businesses that bring fulfillment. There has to be something deeper that drives you. And so that's part of why I tell my story. This is what drives me. This is what motivates me. This is why I do what I do. Without that, all of this stuff would be meaningless. I would still be unfulfilled. So, so my ministry and my business, really, there's no distinction between the two.
Yeah.
They're one and the same. I have people who come to me for counseling. I have people that ask me to pray with them. One of the first conferences I ever spoke at, I had people wanting me to pray with them for over 4 hours when I was done, and yet it was a business conference. So, so God just opens those doors, and really my, if you will, my model for this is the Apostle Paul, who in Acts, we see that he's using his tent making as his means of engaging the culture. And yeah. If you go further on in his letters to the church, he talks about the fact that by the work of my hands, I've supported myself and those who travel with me, that I would not be a burden to you. And mm-hmm. so that's been mm-hmm. the model for me. How do I yeah. engage the culture? I need to be in the marketplace.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's where it's headed. In Catholic lingo, it's called the new evangelization. It's attraction, not promotion. They're coming to you because they're looking at, oh, my gosh, this guy's been phenomenally successful. He's happily married. He's happy. You know, he's fulfilled, and they're hungry. So it's perfect. Now, one of your businesses is a social media company, and you really helped me with the social media because I'm relatively new to it, and I thought it was kind of narcissistic, but now I've kind of changed my tune a lot on that. I love how you describe how you consult with your clients on this and how you use social media. But I would love for you to kind of talk a little bit about social media and how you see it fitting in with growing your business and even the new evangelization that you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Well, social media, let's step back for a minute. Social media is only going to be effective if you understand the audience you're trying to speak to. So the mm-hmm. mistake that so many entrepreneurs and ministers and others make is they're just posting stuff out on social media without really understanding who they're trying to communicate with. So I mm-hmm. always encourage people, you want to start by figuring out who's the audience I'm trying to reach and what is it they need to hear? What is it that is going to, again, draw them to me? So mm-hmm. one of my favorite, you know, topics on this is I'm a man in my late 40s, and, you know, I'm traveling the world all the time. I have friends mm-hmm. in their late 40s who are stuck in a cubicle somewhere that just can't wait to either drop dead or retire. And the only reason they stay where they are is because there's health insurance. And yet they're miserable. And so one of the things that I'm trying to draw out is I want that conversation. What is it mm-hmm. that you do? How is it that you're able to do the things I want to do and you're not wasting your life away in a cubicle? So I'm trying to bring that conversation to me. And so the principle that I use in social media and anywhere else is called attraction marketing. But attraction mm-hmm. marketing always begins with understanding who my audience is. If I'm not communicating to their deepest needs, their biggest fears, their biggest pain points, then I'm never going to flush out their conversation. And so mm-hmm. that's what I tap into is the things that are keeping them up at night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, and how I've applied it, because my business is about lifestyle Christian entrepreneurism, you know, like you create the life, God's in the center, relationships in the center, your business works around it, which is what you do too. But so part of that is if I'm advocating that, it makes sense to have pictures of my kids doing fun stuff. And it's when you have a business that is you totally, you can be very natural on social media and have it be effective because that's who's attracted to me. They want to see that I'm doing what I say I'm doing, you know, in a natural way. So it's kind of helped me get over that hump of, well, this is, you know, who cares who I went to lunch with or whatever. But people do care. I have gotten business from it because they want to see if you're really living it, and that's what you're doing all the time. You are a big advocate. You have a mastermind group here locally that's fantastic at Watermark Books. What's the first Tuesday of the month? Is that correct? At 11:30 Central?
Yes.
I think that's right. But anyway, you advocate personal and professional reading and seem to be big on this. Why do you think this is important, and how do you practice what you preach here?
Well, you always need to be growing in what you do. So the minute you stop mm-hmm. learning is also the minute you put a cap on your potential. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason for reading is there is so much wisdom that has been put into written form over the years. And mm-hmm. it's freely available to us. There's so much we can learn if we'll just take the time to engage the content. And so mm-hmm. I, like you said, I'm a big advocate of that. I actually don't watch television. I spend mm-hmm. Any free time I have generally listening to books on audio. If I'm in the car, I'm listening to a book on audio. I read a mm-hmm. chapter of the Bible every day, regardless of what's going on in my day. I attend conferences on a regular basis. I'm always looking to learn and expand my horizon. And part of this is I don't just read business books. I read on a lot of topics because the more intelligently I can speak on a wider diversity of topics, the larger the audience that I can engage. So I'm always reading those things. But the other part of that is there's a saying that we have, you don't know what you don't know. And so the way you start to learn the things you don't know is you tap into the wisdom and experience of people who have taken journeys that you have not. And
yeah,
so
that's
places
a great way
where
to
I
put
need
it.
To, yeah, places that I need to refine my skill sets, I'm going to continue to read. So I read, you know, great leaders, historical and current. I read a lot about finance and investment. I read a lot about real estate. I read a lot about entrepreneurship, you know, all sorts of things. Even when our new president came into office, I downloaded his latest book because I wanted to hear what he had to say for himself, not just the sound bites.
Through the media,
So,
before we run out of time, Carl, I want to make sure that everyone has a chance to connect with you. I know many of our listeners would love to know more about you and what you're doing. So what's the best way for people to connect with you?
I'm going to give you two websites. The first one is my personal blog. That is carlwillis.com. That is primarily a home business entrepreneur website and blog. The second one is my consulting company. That is simplicitymarketingllc.com. And there's a blog there with a lot of marketing tips, training, and ideas. And then as a special thing for your listeners, if they'll go to simplicitymarketingllc.com/bizcamp, B-I-Z-C-A-M-P, there is a free 7-day video boot camp teaching you attraction marketing strategies for small business.
Oh, that's very generous of you, Carl. Thank you so much. Okay, we just have a couple of minutes, but you're amazing at all that you're doing, and you've got to have some, and all this reading you're doing. What are some time management secrets that you can share with us in closing? Just have a couple minutes.
The biggest time management secret is block off by priority, not by task. So most entrepreneurs will spend 80% of their time on non-revenue-generating activities and 20% on revenue-generating activities. It's where they get stuck. So I focus my priorities. I schedule by priority. So 80% of my time needs to be revenue-generating. So 80% of my time is blocked off for face-to-face meetings, for creating sales funnels, for real estate transactions, those types of things. 20% is earmarked for the administrative tasks. And that's how I schedule, not by you know, task or by appointment, but by priority.
You know, and that's easy to get, you know, out of whack with because you feel like you're not organized and you want to take that time for that. But if you're doing the revenue generating stuff, you'll earn more revenue. You can hire people to do some of those other things. So it's really good advice. So, well, thank you so much, Carl. I just think the most of Carl. I would encourage you guys to take advantage of his video training. And if you're local here in Wichita, his mastermind on the first Monday of the month at Watermark Books at 11:30 is great. Thanks again, Carl, for being here.
Thank you, Christina.
Great. So our next show, you're going to love her. Her name's Christina Unrein, if I'm pronouncing it right. She's the CEO of the Possibility Lab, and she is a happiness coach. If you want to see what the embodiment of someone that lives in abundance like all the time, meet this woman. She is phenomenal. So I'm really excited to have her next week. Take care.